as we begin our worship. Performative, but that's kind of a performance. Our service today celebrates several of the holidays of winter with music and story. And so I begin, well, I want to say also, I know that there are lots of things that you can be doing with your Sunday morning, and especially this time of year, lots of things, lots of places that you could be. And we are glad that you are here and that your presence here helps to make this experience what it is. And so now we begin with words from the Reverend Rebecca Parker, Winter Solstice. Perhaps for a moment, the typewriters will stop clicking, the wheels will stop rolling, the computers desist from computing, and a hush will fall over the city. For an instant, in the stillness, the chiming of the celestial spheres will be heard as Earth hangs poised in the crystalline darkness and then gracefully tilts. Let there be a season when holiness is heard and the splendor of living is revealed. Stunned to stillness by beauty, we remember who we are and why we are here. There are inexplicable mysteries. We are not alone. In the universe, there moves a wild one whose gestures alter the Earth's axis toward love. In the immense darkness, everything spins with joy. The cosmos enfold us. We are caught in a web of stars, cradled in a swaying embrace, rocked by the holy night, babes of the universe. Let this be the time we wake to life, like spring wakes in the moment of winter solstice. Let us worship this morning together. We begin by lighting our chalice, which is a symbol of our shared faith.
Thank you.
Our responsive reading is printed in your order of service, as are the words to the songs that the choir is singing this morning. So this actually has three parts. I will read the parts that say leader, and how about this group read the part that says group one, and you read the part that says group two, and you read whichever part, pick one though, and settle in. No one is ever really ready for Christmas. If our minds were 100% loving and our hearts were 100% generous, they truly would be ready, and truly we would not need Christmas quite so much. So come, Christmas, most needed of seasons. And give flesh to the promise of hope that cries to bring healing into our world. Come, Christmas.
Come, love.
Come, hope.
Be born in our unready hearts on this silent and holy night. And please join in singing our first hymn, number 224, in your gray hymnal, Let Christmas Come. Our first story, first of two stories this morning, is Celebrating Darkness. Once upon a time, there lived people who loved the light. As soon as the sun rose every morning, they were up to welcome it, singing songs of celebration for the light. And when the sun went down each evening, they sang other songs, songs of missing the light of the sun. Sad songs, for they loved the sun so much. They did not love the darkness. Once darkness fell every night, they would hurry to bed, since they could only bear the darkness when they were asleep. Even then, total darkness was frightening for them. And so they always kept a fire burning in every room. The people's dearest wish was that the sun would not set in the evening, that darkness would never fall. But every day the sun set and they sang their sad songs and they endured the fearful, sad, strange darkness until they could greet the sun again each morning. Now, in this land, there were two remarkable children. They were twins. One was a girl, and she seemed to shine from within, Whenever she entered a room, everything seemed to get a little brighter, and the people loved her very much. The other was a boy. He seemed to bring darkness with him. Whenever he entered a room, everything seemed a little dimmer, and the people did not like him. They feared him because he reminded them of the greatest darkness of the night. But although the people loved the girl and did not love the boy, the twins loved each other very much. And because the girl loved her brother so much, the people mostly let him be, though they were afraid of him. Now, as they grew, it became clear that these children were, in fact, magical children. The girl had the power to bring life back when it was harmed or lost. When she was a very small girl, she could heal small cuts and bruises. And when she grew a little older, she could heal broken bones and other larger hurts. And by the time she was a teenager, she could make the crops grow faster and larger and fuller. The boy, on the other hand, had the power to calm and quiet anything. When he was a very small child, he could help his family to go to sleep more quickly, thus saving them from the fear of the darkness. When he was a little older, he could calm animals when they were frightened and make them still. And by the time he was a teenager, he could calm storms and winds and rains. He could bring anything to stillness. The people's love for the light and fear of the darkness only grew with time, perhaps more strongly with the twins always before them to remind them. And so one day, they decided to ask the girl for a favor. They asked her if her magic could hold the sun in the sky and stop the night from coming. The girl was reluctant at first, but after many, many months of being asked, she finally decided to try, just to get the people to leave her alone. One day, just as the sun was at its highest point, she went out to the top of a mountain and held her hands in the air, and she asked the sun to stop and stay right where it was, and it did. The people were overjoyed. There was a big celebration. They sang all of their songs for celebrating the sun. They loved the girl even more, at least at first. For the first week or so, it was hard to tell, now that there was no darkness to mark the days. Everyone was happy and content. But soon, they got tired. Although they had always slept with a fire to ward off the darkness, sleeping in the full light of the sun was another thing altogether. They tossed and turned and woke up constantly. Some of them remembered that the boy could help with sleep and asked for his aid. But his power of bringing sleep seemed to have disappeared along with the darkness. After about a month, the exhausted, frustrated people began to see that this constant sunlight was a problem. Though they still loved the light, they begin to wish that the sun would once again move in the sky. And given the people's love of the light and fear of the darkness, everyone was afraid at first to say anything about this growing longing for the dark. But as they began to confide in each other, they discovered that everyone felt this way. And finally, they decided that something must be done. So they went back to the girl and they asked her to get the sun to move again. It was her magic that stopped it, and they figured her magic could make it move again. So she went back to the top of the highest hill, and she threw her arms in the sky and asked the sun to move. And nothing happened. She tried a second time and asked the sun to move. And nothing happened. She tried a third time. And nothing happened. Sadly, she turned to the people and told them that there was nothing she could do. There was a long moment of growing panic before the boy stepped forward. "Let me try," he said softly. Everyone thought about it for a moment and then decided it was a good idea. So he took his sister's place on the top of the highest hill and threw his arms in the sky and asked the sun to move, and it did. The sun began moving at once, rushing towards its western horizon. Within 10 minutes, it had set, and within 15, it was full dark night. The people were caught off guard. They had come out to the hill to see if the girl's magic would work. They had no fires lit. They hadn't needed them in weeks. They had nothing with them to light their way. They had never been outside at night before. They were terrified. At first, they tried rushing home to get away from the darkness, but they soon discovered that rushing in the dark was a bad idea. They slowed down, but still peered at the ground, trying to get home as quickly as they could. But then one of them looked up. "Oh," she exclaimed, "look." Everyone looked up. Then they saw all the stars for the first time. They had never been outside at night before and had no idea of the incredible beauty of a sky full of stars. They all stopped hurrying towards their homes and stood and stared in wonder. And then they realized how tired they were, and so slowly now, and with more reverence, they started home again. They all slept for a very long time. The people rested and were glad and appreciated the darkness for the first time in their lives. Eventually, the sun rose again. As it did, the people got out of their beds and sang their songs to celebrate the light. But at the end of the day, as the sun began to sink towards the horizon, they did not feel like singing their sad songs. Instead, one of the musicians began singing a new song, a slow, quiet song of thanksgiving for the night. And soon the others joined in. It became their new sunset song. And the boy and the girl grew up to be a man and a woman. And both of them were very much beloved by the people. Looking at them, still the best of friends as much as siblings, the people remembered that light and darkness must be in balance.
Amen.
words are from Victoria Safford. Now is the moment of magic, when the whole round earth turns again toward the sun. And here's a blessing. The days will be longer and brighter now, even before the winter settles in to chill us. Now is the moment of magic, when people beaten down and broken, with nothing left but misery and candles and their own clear voices, kindle tiny lights and whisper secret music. And here's a blessing. The dark universe is suddenly illuminated by the lights of the menorah, suddenly ablaze with the lights of the kinara, and the whole world is glad and loud with winter singing. Now is the moment of magic, when an eastern star beckons the ignorant toward an unknown goal. And here's a blessing. They find nothing in the end but an ordinary baby, born at midnight, born in poverty. And the baby's cry, like bells ringing, make the people wonder as they wander through their lives what human love might really look like, sound like, feel like. Now is the moment of magic. And here, a blessing. We already possess all the gifts we need. We've already received our presence. Ears to hear music, eyes to behold lights, hands to build true peace on earth, and to hold each other tight in love. Our second story. Not so long ago, there was a country which was the biggest in the world, for it had conquered nearly all the other countries. It had become not only very famous, but also very rich. And its inhabitants had to admit that there was scarcely anything to mar their good fortune. One day, a very strange illness broke out in that country. At first, it only attacked a few people. Then, more and more people were affected, until finally, it was an epidemic. The symptoms were a curious kind of paralysis. People who succumbed to it could no longer move. Soon, they could not speak, and finally, they could not think. The inhabitants were deeply perplexed because the evil had come upon them in the time of their greatest prosperity. And the illness spread and took hold of the most important people. The king finally called his counselors together and consulted with them what was to be done in this predicament. But the counselors could think of nothing beyond what the doctors had already tried. In the end, they proposed to the king that he should send out a proclamation throughout the kingdom that if anyone knew what should be done, he should present himself immediately. The king did this, and after a time, a very old shepherd appeared at the palace. She gave the king unexpected advice. She said, "In this extremity, only one thing can help you. Send your daughter to the secret king, and he will give you what you need." The king did not like what he was told at all. He just did not want to send his very own daughter all by herself out into the world to an unknown king, especially one who was also a secret king. But when the king became ill himself, he decided, after all, to follow the shepherd's advice. So this young princess went out to look for the secret king. She did not know where he lived, nor did she know the way. But she was filled with the ardent desire to find him and help her people. She wandered on from morning till night and still had not found him. And as she had not achieved anything by the end of the day, she resolved to not seek lodging, but to remain in the open, lest she should miss seeing a sign. So she climbed to the top of the hill and stayed there all night. She now saw that the endless sky of deepest blue formed a ball above her. Never had she seen the sky like that. She gazed at it steadfastly for a long time and gave herself up to the exalted vision. She felt herself growing freer and greater, and she felt that she could understand many mysteries of the world. And then she fell asleep. When she awoke the next morning, she noticed, to her astonishment, that she was wrapped in a wonderful dark blue cloak. She arose and went on her way. She met many people who needed her help, some of them cursing her. The king's daughter did everything required without complaining, without growing angry. Then she was approached by a woman who had hardly any clothing on and who begged her for something warm to wear. The king's daughter gave the woman her own clothes, for she still had the blue cloak. However, when she looked down, she saw that she was wearing a new robe, one that was shining in the most beautiful red. As she went on the following day, she encountered many obstacles. The path became harder, and her strength began to fail. Only her determination remained steadfast. She came to an upland meadow with magnificently leafy trees bearing glistening fruit. Exhausted, she sat down under the largest tree. But as she was sitting there thinking, "If only my faith could match my determination," the huge tree began to shake and shake, and two lovely, warm, golden shoes fell down. When the king's daughter put on the shoes, she felt her limbs flowing with strength such as she had never felt before. Then she was able to go on. On the fourth day, the path descended and gradually led into the inside of the earth. First, she was surrounded by terrifying darkness. Then it became lighter and lighter, and at last she was bathed in an indescribably soft light. It seemed to her that she had come into the very heart of the earth. In the middle of the space stood a throne, and on it sat a youthful king, shining like the gentle sun. Round him were spirits of nature, the leaders of mankind, and the highest of the angels. The king's daughter knew now that she had reached the end of her journey. The king on the throne looked at the maiden and saw what she was wearing, the blue cloak, the red robe, and the golden shoes. He now spoke to her. "I see that you are worthy to receive the healing gift and bring it to mankind." And he gave her a golden bowl filled with sparkling water and bade her drink. Then he told her to take it to the people and to tell them about the secret king. Whoever believed her would be allowed to drink and would be cured of the illness. The king's daughter took the bowl and journeyed back into the land of men. When she told people about whom she met, most of them did not believe that there was a secret king. But some others did believe, and they drank from the golden bowl and were cured of the mysterious illness. In this way, many have received new life. Many more will come too when they open their hearts to the tidings that there is a secret king who guards and bestows the water of life. He dwells among us. Perhaps she dwells among us. It dwells among us and waits. Please rise in body or spirit as you're willing or able, and join in singing our closing hymn, number 259, "We Three Kings of Orient Are."
Oh,
remain standing as we extinguish our chalice with the words printed in your order of service. We extinguish this flame,
but not like the truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts
until we are together again. May we all be filled with the wonder of this season. May we find what we are looking for. May we look for maybe what we don't know we are missing. May we spread light. Amen.
Dios guardó el lobo, el lobo.